Hello everyone, Bruce Edwin here, Subnormal Magazine, and I have the pleasure today to speak with the legendary punk rock legend, Bloody Mess. Bloody, how are you today, brother?
I'm very excited to be here after all these years. We reconnect.
Well, that's awesome. Absolutely. I was really, you know, I was thinking of you a while back, and I was like, you know, whatever happened to Bloody? And I just started doing some search, and I found you online, and I'm like, oh man, that's so cool when you reach back. And yeah, just very glad to see you're still rocking.
Thank you so much. Next year will mark my 40th anniversary in the music industry, so I'm excited to still be breathing.
Exactly. That's amazing. That's so cool. Now, Bloody, take us back. For those that are new to your work, and there's going to be, you know, some kids out there that are like, you know, brand new to like whatever, to old school punk rock history. Give us a little short, abbreviated, if you will, history of, you know, background of kind of like who you are, where you began, and how you started out.
Sure, I'll try to keep it brief. I basically started out in Peoria, Illinois, and I started, well, joined my first band in 1983, and we were called Chips Patrol, and later we became called The Unaccepted. We did gigs with, like, underground punk bands like the Necros and a lot of, like, legendary bands like that.
Cool.
And MIA and, like, Nihilate, you know, bands like that.
I remember Nihilate, yeah.
That so was that's the good. First show I ever did, ever in my life, was opening for Nihilate.
Wow. Wow.
So, basically, after that, I kept going in music, and I had many, many bands through the years. Bloody Mess and Hate, Bloody Mess and the Scabs made the most dent as far as the punk scene in the 80s and 90s, as far as longevity.
Yes.
About an eight-year run, I'd say, with the Scabs, and lots of records and tours. Then I just kind of kept going, eventually quitting punk rock and starting a country band for a couple of years. It was we worked local honky-tonks and dive bars for a couple of years. And
cool.
Then got back into punk rock in like the 1990s and then late 1990s, and then got into the radio industry and started broadcasting. So
interesting.
23 years later, I'm still producing and hosting the Church of Rock radio show that I started Halloween of 1999, and since then I've also moved out to Oregon, where I reside now, and I've been doing music this whole time, basically.
Well, that's incredible, and that's awesome. Now, I want to go back a little bit to the beginning, because when you and I first got connected, you had Bloody Mess and the Scabs. That was your incarnation of the band. Then tell us a little bit about what was going on with you then, you know, like your tour life and, you know, some of the people you've played with and done it's that.
Yeah, first of all, also pardon my voice. I've been rehearsing for a gig we're doing with Richie Ramone of the Ramones coming up, and
nice.
My voice is shot, so I apologize.
Not at all. No, you sound great.
Back in the day, I was a different person than I am now. I would say 85% different. I like to think that I shed a lot of the negative and gained a lot of wisdom in the years that happened, you know.
Good.
But like a lot of us. But I basically at the time was a nihilist and an atheist and a, you know, partying, drug drinking kind of guy, you know. And
yeah.
We were super into like hardcore nihilism and crazier the better.
Yeah.
And that was just the way we were. We kind of lived that way for a long time, on and off stage, unfortunately. But
yeah,
the Scabs was more or less a performance art / rock punk band that pretty much lived the way we were on stage. It was bizarre. And,
wow.
Yeah, I'm not the same anymore, Bruce. I don't live that way.
Interesting. Well, I want to definitely talk about that comment in a minute. But going back to that, you know, past point, yeah, because I remember, you know, getting like wild album covers from you and seeing them in stores all over and stuff. And, you know, you had a reputation back then, yeah, of just being totally wild and crazy and just punk rock. And I mean, you were punk rock, obviously, but, you know, kind of like the more wild and theatrical bands did, you had the reputation of living it, you know, kind of like, you know, I won't name names. I hate comparing, you know, bands, but who were you hanging out with and who did you tour with? Some bands that some of us may know.
Well, back then it was strange, you know, between the years 83 and like, I would say 93, let's say that 10 year period.
Yeah.
There were so many great gigs with so many great bands like, Toxic Reasons and like Adrenaline OD.
Love them. Yeah.
We got to actually be on the second stage for opening for the Sex Pistols reunion tour. In
wow. In what year? Cool. Was that in the 90?
Yeah, that was when around 96, wasn't it? 95, 6, something like that. When
yeah.
The Sex Pistols did their reunion tour. 97.
Yeah, I saw that show.
Right around there.
Cool.
But we did gigs with like Naked Raygun and the Necros and just a plethora of just really great bands over the years that
awesome.
Came through. You know, and I was promoting as well at the time, so and I just brushed up against a lot of great acts just inadvertently that way as well.
Yeah. Did you say Rick Agnew?
You know, I worked with Rick Agnew later from the last two records I did. Actually, Rick produced one of them and played
wow.
guitar on both of them, and he's really somebody I consider a brother. I love Rick.
That's awesome. He's legendary, obviously. Adolescence, Circle Jerks, on and on. Very cool. What got you started, Bloody? Like, back, I know you were making a fanzine, you were doing, you know, the band, you were doing so much stuff. What inspired you and got you into the so-called scene?
Well, as a child, I was always a voracious book reader and also like a poet. I like to write a lot. And so I did fanzines a lot, and it started connecting me with more people in different scenes, not only throughout the States, but as you know, internationally, how we all did it with the fanzines and the letter writing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just wanted to be a part of something. At the same time, being a nihilist, I was also a creator of, like, promoting bands, other bands. I started a record label in 98 called Fanatic Records, which is still going today.
Awesome.
Putting out releases.
Remember that, yeah.
I did the fanzines for about 10 years, doing Fanatic fanzine, and then I did Bloody Mess Publications.
Yeah.
I ended up writing for a magazine that Jay Goldberg was producing called People of Peoria for a while,
cool.
which was a legit glossy covered international magazine. But other than that, you mentioned theatrical earlier. Well, I ended up writing the song title for a couple different movie soundtracks.
Nice.
And did some acting in my career. I've done 4 or 5 films, independent films.
No
so,
way. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool, man. That's awesome. Who inspired you back then? Because I mean, I know myself, I was listening to so much stuff, mostly the punk scene. I started out, you know, kind of 60s rock, and I got into new wave and metal and then punk rock. And what really inspired you the most back then?
Well, my mother was my biggest inspiration because she was a rocker. And in our home, when you woke up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you make breakfast, and you put on a record. And
cool.
that's what we did. Until my mother died in 2009, we were all in the music family, whether it be Johnny Cash or the Dave Clark Five or the Beatles or, you know, whatever it might be. So I was always a fan of pop music, of old country, and I'd say my favorite bands as a kid that kind of shaped where I'm at now would have to be a curious mix of the Bay City Rollers, Iggy Pop and the Stooges, the Plasmatics with Wendy O. Williams, one of my biggest vocal influences.
Nice.
You know, all the good stuff. The Beatles, the Germs, the Ramones.
Love them. Yeah.
You know, all the good stuff.
Cool. And you got a lot of notoriety. Did that happen pretty fast? I mean, I remember back at the time we had, you know, the main ones, Flipside, Maximum Rock and Roll, I think were two of the biggest. Obviously, you always got covered in there. Did things blow up for you pretty quickly, or was it, you know, more slow, or what?
That's a great question, Bruce. I was just telling my wife the other day, I said, you know, if I would have spent a few more years in the van on the road, I would maybe possibly be at a level where I could make a living doing lectures or still doing tours and making some money a little bit, like, say, Sammy from Bang or Henry Rollins, guys that put in the hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was more kind of lazy. Like, I did a lot of partying, and so we would do our thing, and then I decided I really didn't want to be on the road, and that was my mistake. Had I done that, I would have a different answer. But over the years, I've kept myself that my notoriety has been more of a cult following, sort of.
Yeah.
And there's a recent book that just came out called Punks in Peoria, nice. That I have my own chapter in, which was bizarre.
Cool.
And they called it, the chapter is called Public Enemy Number One, by the way.
Good band. Another good band.
So I think the bottom line is it took a lot of years for me to earn anything that I have earned, but I still am not like a household name because I didn't put in the hours in the band like a lot of the guys like the Misfits and Glenn Danzig did.
Yeah.
But we have consistently over the years continued to keep me going with various record labels and the movies and writing and the radio show I host. And
that's awesome.
So, you know, I just am so blessed and grateful to...
Okay, folks, Subnormal Magazine here, Bloody Mess. The call just dropped here, so we'll be giving them a call back, but this is a perfect spot to take a break here for the recording and for data-wise. So we'll be back here momentarily, folks. Subnormal Magazine, talking with Bloody Mess.